This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. Ben Coase is a New York Times best-selling author of political thriller and espionage novels, who draws upon his early career at the White House and his godfather's experience as a Navy SEAL to write realistic books with plots that could be ripped from tomorrow's headlines. In Coase's latest book called The Island, America faces the worst terrorist attack since 9/11, as Iran puts a plan in motion to exact revenge for years of sanctions. Another of Iran's goals is to neutralize the CIA's most successful agent, Dewey Andres. Ben Coase is the New York Times bestselling author of international espionage thrillers, including Trap the Devil, Eye for an Eye, Independence Day, and First Strike. Before writing his first novel, Power Down, he worked at the White House under two presidents and was a fellow at the John F. Kennedy School of Government. Lives with his wife and four children in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Happy to have Ben Coase join me now here on Speaking of Writers. Ben, welcome to this program.
Steve, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So where did the idea for The Island come from?
I don't know. Just kind of, you know, like all ideas. I mean, it's my 10th book. The Island's my 10th book. So, you know, you have to kind of dig down and think about, you know, each plot, and they kind of get harder as, you know, there are only so many enemies and places and stuff like that. But I would say the idea for the plot came from where the plots of all my books have come from, which is just looking around and seeing real threats that face us in real time, talking to people who are in intelligence or in politics or in military, and getting their perspective, hearing what's top of mind for them, and my imagination. So I think a combination of those three things. But really, as you mentioned, I try to write books that are ripped from tomorrow's headlines. The way to do that, in my opinion, is to just look around and to properly analyze what the real threats are, and then use that truth, that reality, but as a platform to then put fiction on top, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I get your take talking about threats there and from the headlines on Afghanistan in just a few moments here. What U.S. security vulnerabilities are attacked in this book, and how are they exploited?
There are two primary ways that Hezbollah in this book, Iran, attacks America and vulnerabilities that they exploit. The first is New York City, the fact that it is essentially an island, hence why it's called The Island. There are only four tunnels going into and out of New York City, if you don't include things like subways and utility tunnels. So it is, in a way, targetable, if that makes sense. It's also right on the ocean, or close to the ocean, right on the eastern seaboard. But the main one I wanted to write about is just the simple truth of the fact that I think that a well-planned operation could really do a lot of damage on New York City, on Manhattan specifically, due to its essentially geographic vulnerability. And then the other part of the book that I write about, that I have wanted to write about for some time, it's just been hard to try to figure out how to lay it out into an exciting plot, is the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve manages around $5 trillion and approximately, and of that amount, believe it or not, less than 5% is in cash. So the rest of it is you know, in a digital format, digital checks and balances, balance sheet. And, you know, the Fed is what undergirds our economy, our government. It is the vehicle through which banks receive money when they need it, borrowing money from the Fed, same with other governments. And you know, I have long thought, and I believe and still think, and in fact concerned about the fact that 95% of, and again, that's an approximation, but of our wealth, our liquidity at the Fed is in a digital format. And when you see the types of events that have occurred in the past few years and the growing prevalence of cyber terrorism, cyber hacking, and just cyber warfare generally, and you look at state sponsors of cyber terrorism as well as private entities, you know, it's happening more and more. You know, they shut down the pipeline earlier this year. I mean, and there are just hot attempts, and it's so I write about the Fed, and I think I figured out a way to make it fun and interesting. It's not necessarily simple if you think about it, trying to make the Fed and the vulnerability interesting. But I think I made it very compelling, and so far my readers have loved that part of it, and I think it's pretty innovative, and I think it's. But I don't know if it's the first time it's ever been written about in such a manner, a fictitious manner. But I think I pulled it off. I think I made it interesting, and I think it's even a little bit educational. I definitely took some poetic license, though, Steve, because it's actually very opaque. It's very hard to know exactly how that system, it's called Fedwire, how it works, who manages it, et cetera. So those are the two big things.
Chatting with Ben Coase here on Speaking of Writers. His new book is The Island, No Bridges, No Tunnels, No Escape. A look at how terrorists could exploit U.S. targets. Latest international thriller from Coase. The character Dewey Andres, CIA's most successful agent. Ben, how did you create Dewey?
Well, that's a great question. I after working in politics and government, I went into the private sector for a number of years, worked in private equity, and always wanted to write a book. I went to Columbia, New York City, and I always thought, I was an English major, I always wanted to write a book, and I got off into my career and built a family, stuff like that. And I would always tell myself, I'm going to write a book, and I never did it. And I woke up one day, and my wife, I said, exactly that to my wife, and she said, "Well, get up and start writing." And so I did, and I literally, probably because I spent a lot of time in the oil industry, the energy industry, I pictured a guy on an offshore oil platform, and I just started describing this guy on an offshore oil platform. I didn't even know, Steve, if it was going to be a thriller or not. I called him Dewey, and it turned into a thriller, and that turned into the opening scene in my first book, Power Down. And that's, so he came from, I don't know where he came from, but he just popped up that day, and he is a little bit like, almost like an alter ego. He probably represents what I, if I was going to be a hero, so to speak, or, an operator, how I am. And I think it's the 10th book with him in it, and I think readers really have come to know him and really like him a lot. I think he's very tough and everything like that, but he's not superhuman. He's got flaws. He's relatable, and I think people like that about him. And now with The Island, it is my 10th book. All my books can be read as standalones. And I work hard to give background to the reader on Dewey's background, on his backstory, on what got him there in unique ways each book. So if The Island is your first time reading a Ben Coase book, you're going to understand Dewey and understand the backstory a little bit, and hopefully if you like it, you'll buy the other books. But if you've already read the other books, The Island, it's not going to be repetitive in terms of that aspect of it, because I try to bring in a fresh, way of looking at Dewey each time.
Ben, for first-time readers, which of your books should they start with?
I would start with this one. It's out there now, and it's very topical. I'd start with The Island, and I think it's my best yet. I think, but I would start with The Island and see what you think, and if you like it, I would. And this happens a lot. Every one of my books is sold a little bit more than the last one. And what happens is every book there's going to be these new readers, and then they say, "Wow, I've never read a Ben Coase before. I'm going to go back and read the other ones," and that's great. So I would start with The Island, and then the series does work in order. I do think there's probably an incremental level of satisfaction in going from beginning to end. But I would start with The Island. It's available in every format, as you can imagine, out there: ebook, Kindle, Nook, iBooks, Audible, and audio CD, and the audiobook is great. The narrator is terrific, and then of course hardcover, and it's available everywhere. And I always encourage people to go to a local bookstore and buy it. And if they don't happen to have it, because as you can imagine, local bookstores can't always get every single book that comes out. They should have, but if they don't, then ask them to order it. And I always think it's important to support local bookstores. But if you don't want to do that, just go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any other kind of online form, and you can buy it. I think Costco usually has my books. And, yeah, I'd start with The Island. And I always, Steve, I always encourage people to buy at least 10 copies in case they lose one.
Sure, yes. Did you always know, Ben, that you were a pretty good storyteller?
Yeah, I did. I mean, not when I was like three. at that point, I was focused on getting my diapers. But I accomplished that. I was out of them by the time I was eight. No, I'm just kidding. I'll tell you what happened. I grew up in Connecticut, and my grandmother was always encouraging me to write. And she lived in Stamford, and she was the first female president of a big advertising firm in New York City, Young and Rubicam. And so she always encouraged me to write. So I was in seventh grade. I wrote this short story, and she entered it into a contest for something, I'm not sure it still exists, but it was called something like the New York Festival of the Arts. We went to it, and it was, you know, big, huge crowd, and they had different categories of contests, and you got, like, money if you won, but there were a lot of, you know, tons of entries, and so she entered it, and in the adult fiction category. And so we were there, and they went to announce, and the winner, first prize in the adult fiction category, is Ben Coase. And I was like, oh my God. And everybody started clapping. So I walked up. The person who was giving out the award said, "Oh, are you picking this up for your father?" I was like, "No, that was me." And anyway, I think that was probably the first time where I was like, wow, I guess maybe people like what, you know, like how I write, I put words down. And I don't know what it is, but I think I'm good at getting people to just keep flipping the pages and making them want to continue to turn the pages. And when people say that, that's how it feels when you read one of my books. To me, that's the greatest compliment.
I want to ask you about what's been dominating the headlines for the last week or so, Afghanistan, right, and the withdrawal from Afghanistan affecting U.S. security and in the region. How concerned are you?
Well, I think that we are a lot less safe as a country today than we were a week ago. I think it was not only was it badly done, I think everyone, you know, acknowledges that. I think it was a mistake to get out of there. I mean, I was against that war. I was against Iraq as well. The reality, though, is that the Afghan war had ended, and we had 2,500 troops there supporting the Afghan military and helping to keep the country stable. And there was relative stability between the Afghan government with our support and backing and the Taliban. We have 28,000 troops in South Korea. We have, I think, 9,000 in Germany. We've got 7,000 in Western Africa. I mean, we have troops all over the world. And I think that pulling them out, those 2,500, was done for symbolic reasons, and I think it was a huge mistake, and we are a lot less safe. I mean, and in addition to the fact that it was done horribly badly, the scenes, I think, of people falling from the planes and stuff like that is going to be etched in our minds for a long time. And I think we really harmed a lot of innocent people by the way it was done. It was just incompetent. But the larger decision, I think, was a terrible decision, an absolutely terrible decision. And so I think we're a lot less secure that, and Afghanistan will most likely become another training and recruitment and breeding ground for terrorism. Will be brought on the West and onto our shores. I hope I'm wrong, Steve, but I think that's what has been set up, and it's too bad.
He's Ben Coase. The new book out now is called The Island: No Bridges, No Tunnels, No Escape. Ben, thank you so much for joining me.
Steve, thanks for having me.
And this is Speaking of Writers.